Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860, serving Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area, as well as the world by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and clicking on the Listen Live link. You know, as people go to that link, I notice that even on Saturdays when we do our variety program, people go right to the American Workers broadcast link and click on our Listen Live link to enjoy that. But you can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to any of our broadcasts by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com or SaturdayVarietyProgram.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've certainly been doing our best to motivate Americans to really get up and do their things, get out and support one another. And I think, believe it or not, after looking at some of the debates and hearing the various commentators on radio programs and also on the media, on the CNNs and the Fox News, I think that we're doing a better job on this broadcast than most of them because we're focused on jobs. The rest of them seem to be focusing on personalities and cage fight type operations, which hopefully we'll be able to address during today's broadcast. But as always, I ask that you spread the word. And if you received our email this morning, email it out to another person so we continue to get more and more people involved. And I'm very pleased to say that we are getting a lot of people involved. And in my travels, as I go to various events, I hear what is really on people's minds. And today, hopefully, we'll be able to have some of those discussions. With me today is our wonderful panel members, including the very well-known Dr. Rich Loges from RJL Technology Integration, and of course, Dr. Mark Andel, who is the founder of a great store, the Made in America store in Buffalo, New York. And by the way, he is linked on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. This is the time of year you have to support good guys like this. And if he doesn't have it immediately in stock, he'll make sure that you get it in time for the early spring or summer, whenever you need it. But check out his stuff and make sure you spread the word about the MadeInAmericaStore.com. Also with us is Dr. Larkin Connolly. And Larkin, no Larkin at this point yet, but we have some other people calling in. So today's one of those days that we've been going crazy here this morning. Also, I want to say thank you to our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, who does a great job making sure that everything stays on target. And I'm Michael Blihash, your Wednesday host, and I thank you for tuning in. I have done my FCC regulation, and everything is now ready to go. Well, should we be ready for a cage fight today or whatever? That's all I keep hearing on the news media, is this is a cage fight and that's a cage fight. And, you know, instead of us hearing the real bread and butter issues, how are we going to get our jobs back? How are we going to pay our taxes? How are we going to be able to enjoy life and save some money? All we're hearing is this one's no good, that one's no good. You know, reminiscing the past, but not the future. Rich, I know you're going to like that question. What would you say to that?
Well, good morning. Good morning, Michael, and good morning to our listeners. Regarding the cage fights, Michael, hey, tis the season. The next 3 to 4 months, we're going to have a nominee from each party. The question is it going to be a deserving nominee? Are we going to have brokered conventions by the parties? We've seen, I think you guys would probably agree with this. I think we've seen some things that we weren't expecting and some things that we just really haven't seen in the modern era. Michael, it's exhilarating and exciting, but it's scary as all hell.
It is scary. It is really scary. And Mark, what would you add to that?
Yeah, no, I agree. How you doing, guys? Yeah, watching some of the debates, talking to people, you know, that I meet every day that just bring up things. We know that, you know, Donald Trump changed the game, like him or not, and what he's saying. But I think Rich just hit it on the head. You know, it's a historic time. Everybody needs to get out, educate themselves, and vote. But at the same time, it's scary times because you don't know how this is going to end up. And I think we all agree we don't want things to stay the same.
No. You know what? When I'm out talking to people, I ask them, why are you watching the debate? Some of them said they never watched a debate ever. And they say, well, I'm watching the debate because it is one of the more exciting times to see something on TV. It's like the Coliseum where you're watching to see who's going to take who down and put them in their place. And I, of course, watch in amazement. But my main thing with all of this as I'm talking to people is what I'd like to see during those cage fights is a lot of sharing of ideas to help change America for the better. When will we see the cage fighters get together and start discussing the real bread and butter issues that are focused on jobs and job skills? How about more small businesses able to serve local communities and employ local people? I haven't heard that in the cage fight. Have you, Rich?
You know, I just want to say, Mike, you just hit it on the head, though. We don't mind the back and forth, but we really want to get focused now, start to fine-tune on the problems and develop that plan that we talk about.
We need the plan, Mark. You're absolutely right. When will we hear from them? What are we going to do to promote businesses and, you know, talk about our future? We're talking about everything in the world in these discussions. We have to be afraid of this one and afraid of that one. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to rely on one another. When you have a job, you feel good, Mark. When I have a job, I feel good. When Henry has a job, everybody has something that they look forward to doing. They feel great about themselves. Because we don't have enough jobs here in America, we're really in peril. Our nation's in peril, and we're trying to get the people out of peril. It's like a fire that's going, and we're trying to pull the people out of the fire, and you know, we're doing a good job doing that.
You know, Mike, you know, Buffalo, West New York, we were blessed with snow yesterday. For me, it's a blessing. For other people, they hate me. We got 12 inches plus of snow across the whole area. But you know what a snowstorm does? It brings people together. They got to restore order. It brings people together. What do neighbors do? They help each other. What do we got to do in the countries like this? Help each other. We got to get on one track. One country, one goal.
Absolutely. You know, when I'm out and people tell me that they're starting to really wise up and speak up about the health of America's economy, I want everybody to know that our efforts are really uniting every American behind our Buy American Made campaign, behind the idea of going out and trying to open a business, keep the businesses that are open right now in business by supporting them. Many people told me that, especially those that worked hard for years, they don't understand why America is where it is today with less jobs than we need and more people retiring and not enough people to fill their jobs in the workforce. It's a big discussion with people. And, you know, when they announced that job, we got 175,000 or 200,000 jobs this month, they're not announcing the second part. And the second part is 10,000 Americans retire every day. So what that announcement really means is that we're not creating enough jobs to fill the people's jobs who are retiring. That's the fact. If you look up 10,000 Americans retire every day. It's a fact. That's not, you know, a dreamland. And it's 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We haven't created that many jobs in the whole United States in many, many years. Our population went up to 320,000, and we only have 146 million people working. It should be 187 million. So, you know, they're not saying the facts. It's all dancing around. And when people see, I say to them, look, hearing our message, supporting our message is helping to make things better. It could even be worse, by the way, guys, and good listeners and people who support our efforts. It could be a lot worse if it wasn't for efforts like the Buy American Made campaign and efforts like the Made in America store and people like Mark Andel going out of his way to, you know, to focus on all American made items, and people like Rich Loggia speaking up, you know, getting right inside and outside the cage to let people know. They love all that. The Doobies and all people, you know, love to hear all that stuff. So, guys, thank you so much. And thanks also to Larkin, who's a little bit on travel today, I believe. So we just have to, you know, wait for him next week. So you were going to say, Mark?
No, I think you just hit it on the head. Again, our theme this year, our mission statement is consumers creating jobs with every purchase. And I want to keep saying that. The consumer, the listeners today, when you buy a Made in America product, it makes more good than you'll ever realize how many people you affect by doing that. It's such a simple process. While we're thinking and while we're deciding who we're going to vote for, you know, go out when you shop, buy Made in America products. It helps this economy instantly. And that's just beautiful stuff. Consumers have that much power. So good stuff, Mike.
And you sent me that article the other day, and I read it. Mark, and that was very interesting. And this is truly a fact. This is a time of year that people spend less because they spent more during the Christmas holiday. So they don't go out as much, so they don't add up their credit card higher and higher. They don't have the funds. They have to pay basic bills. And that is why I say so often, please go out and support all of your local stores. And I mean, when I say local, I mean the hoagie shops, the candy stores, the delicatessens, the pizza shops, the dry cleaners, the food store, just about every little business, because this is a very difficult time of year. Go out and support them, not only during National Small Business Weekend, the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month, but all the time. Go out of your way. And I must tell you this too, which is very interesting. I was in a major store the other day, and they had signs up for 60 to 70% off winter season items. 50 to 70% off.
You know,
I'm saying to myself, how is that possible? How is it possible, Mark?
You know, that article I sent around, just so the listeners know, it was basically on retail business, and Samantha from the Buffalo News up here had wrote it, who I met, very good journalist. But this article said, you know, fourth quarter is everything for business from Black Friday to Christmas, and that's everything for retail business. And what happens, you go from 200 miles an hour down to cricket speed. You know, you can hear the crickets in January, February, and March, and you got to get through that gap. So retailers are doing things. They slash prices. A lot of, when you're seeing 50 to 70% off, that's on items mostly made overseas, because I don't have them profit margins. I could never do that. You know, we give our veterans 10%. We have 10% sales. But they're trying to move and liquidate and keep their employees till they make it to the Robin Sing in the spring. When Easter comes, you start to get a little life back in these retail stores. And it's such a tough environment. But when you pass a big box store and you go to these smaller ones, boy, are you helping them in January, February, March. Very, very difficult on retail business. It's just that time of year. It's always been standard. And then the winter wasn't as cold, so a lot of places had your colder clothing and different, you know, again, you know, cold weather items, even from wigwam socks to different jackets. But they got stuck with them. And then in that article, they mentioned that the websites, e-commerce sites, started a sale way early, like in December. So then the brick and mortars had to follow it. So very tough times, but always, again, support your local businesses as much as you can, especially during the first quarter. It really helps them survive.
Very much so. Rich, I mean, you're a small businessman. You know how important small business is. And you understand from your businesses right there in Florida. I mean, a lot of them are doing well all year because of the weather. But when you come, like in New York or Pennsylvania, you get cold weather, you get less people out.
And Michael, the majority of our clientele and our customers are small business owners and small businesses themselves. So this gives me an opportunity in all of my day-to-day conversations with them. And there are many, guys, believe me, where we talk about a variety of national issues, the economy, other important issues as well. And I'll tell you guys this, and maybe you're finding this as well. One of the things that I've noticed in the last year, more and more people than I've ever noticed before in conversation are asking me, you know, Rich, I hear your show. I listen to the show. I hear Mark, Lark, and Michael, everybody. I agree. I like what I hear, but what is it that I can do? And, you know, guys, I like that question. I'll tell you, I like that question because it gives us a chance to make our case for Made in America without beating people over the head and constantly forcing it on them. Look, you ever notice when something's forced on you, even when it's good for you, that what do? We reject it.
Yes.
And what we do is we make the case about for and about why this is as important and unifying an issue as really any that I think we could think of. So when that question comes up, Michael, and I'm asked this all the time, I know why it's asked. It's because I think people deep down want to do something, but they don't feel like their votes and how they spend matter. We can help people understand that it actually matters and they can influence things greatly.
You're right. You're right, Rich. And, you know, the thing that amazes me that as I do my visitations to the stores, some small and medium-sized businesses tell me point blank that it's very difficult for them to find a lot of Made in America stuff on their suppliers list. Very hard to find. Some business owners tell me that, especially those that have been in business 25, 30 years, tell me that 25 years ago, 90% of everything that they had in the store was mainly made in America. The packaging, it was, you know, very simple. It was always said made here and there. And they don't understand how it changed and why it changed. Why did it change, Mark?
Yeah, you know, it's hard, like we always talk about, there's so much to it. I think, you know, we took our eye off the ball. We lost focus. We didn't really know what was going on as products manufacturing from small golf tees to cabinets to manufacturing cars. It went, when a lot of the products went overseas, Mike, I don't think we paid attention. We didn't know. I mean, there was a certain handful of people making a lot of money from it going overseas. You get your bottom line down, you get your cost down, you get your payroll down, and they were making money. They could sell things cheaper. It became a throwaway world instead of, you know, I like to lead with quality. So we kind of forgot about it. We kind of changed our culture by doing that. The houses have more products in it, but you know, at what expense? We lost jobs. So I think, Mike, we all agree it was a 30-year mistake. But now, knowing what's going on, it's such a common-sense item. And, Rick, you just touched on it. Buying Made in America products is so simple that people, it's not sexy enough. People don't look at it, but it works. I mean, even if Larkin was here, he'd talk about the supply chain and we got to rebuild this and that and get more tooling companies. But, yes, but we by starting, by causing that demand, then each company has to grow. Again, we support almost 500 American privately owned businesses. When I say privately owned businesses to the listeners, they're not publicly traded companies. So these are privately mom and pops and family owned two, three, four generation companies that just they care about their employees, they care about livelihoods, and they're not all about that making their shareholder more money. It's not reviewed every 3 months. So, Mike, it's been a long process to get to where we are, but we've got to stop the car and get out and say, hey, we're going the wrong direction.
And that's right, and especially when we have bad examples coming from big corporate leaders. Take, for instance, in the last few weeks, we heard that Ford has decided to build and expand their plants in Mexico. You heard that.
I'll tell you, Mike, just real quick on that. My father worked for Ford his whole life. Just this morning he told me we should get in a picket line. You know, he's mad about that, very mad. I was surprised to hear it out of my father's almost 80 years old, but that really frustrates these Ford workers when he's got friends not, you know, losing jobs and stuff still. And, you know, he's old school with the Ford, but he can't believe that they're going out of our country.
So if that is the case, here's another situation. Some of the cars, the foreign-owned cars, are made in America. It's hard to believe.
Yes.
And here we are having more and more Ford models going to be made in Mexico, brought to America. They were doing wonderful, and they just want to continue to do wonderful and get more profits for their investors. Now I hear announced that Carrier air conditioners are moving to Mexico.
Yeah, that's big.
Which adds to the loss of thousands of more jobs for Americans, and it'll devastate the livelihoods of American workers and also the local economies and also America's national economies.
And
but I didn't hear a word in the cage that is going to, somebody's going to have a sit down with Ford, have a sit down with Carrier. Now there's another company, Cardone Industries. They make brakes for cars. They're sending a portion of their work to Mexico. So we've been watching this chess game for years, watching industries go out of the country. But there's one thing we haven't been watching, and that is America's national leaders showing us that they're sitting down at the conference table with these businesses, with these corporations, to ask, why would you want to move out of America, where you already have your workforce fully trained, ready to go? What's the reason?
You know, I'd like to just bring up on that point with the Ford and Courier, you know, going to Mexico. When I met the president of Caterpillar a couple of years ago, you know, again, they're talking about continent of consumption. They're okay with that instead of global. But a problem with that, you got to support your team, which is the United States of America. If China's the factory of the world or Mexico becomes the factory of the world and we're the consumers, where are these consumers in our country getting the money to buy these products? You know, and again, I got a question for Rich here. Rich, so we tax the imports. We put a 10%, a 15%, a 20%. Why wouldn't that work, Rich? You know, let them be where they are, and we make money on them and fix our country with the money.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, Mark, it's a good question, and I know Larkin's brought this up before, and while I won't say that I'm a tariff expert, and Larkin may correct me on this or may say that I'm somewhat on point with it.
I feel I'm just swerving the car right now, Rich.
I look at the tariff thing like I do a little bit like minimum wage. Minimum wage, $7 an hour isn't enough money, guys. An hour. Okay, it just isn't. But if people are going back to work and businesses are being created, small businesses are being created, and there's more mobility in the workforce, that's probably going to help wages also. Because what happens when minimum wage increases, like we're seeing, have been adopted and they've been implemented? Well, what's happening is stores are closing down. Stores are raising prices. The tariff, Mark, it's in theory, in principle, I love the idea. My concern is, are we going to have enough of a consumer base to buy? I mean, Donald Trump's talking about this. Let's tax 30% coming in from China and Mexico. That doesn't sound as bad if we're not talking about 95 million people at work and stagnated flat wages and corporate inversions that equal $2 trillion and plus. These stories, Michael, like with Ford, you know, Ford is saying, oh, U.S. workers, don't fear losing your jobs. Is that true or not? The fact is these stories they hit home really hard because of everything, we've been witnessing over the last many years. If the 95 million people not working was significantly dwindled down, I'm not going to say we'd be happy to hear about Ford, but I don't know if it would hit as hard as it does right now to hear these things, to hear about Carrier going overseas, Caterpillar. And I think a lot of this stuff, Michael, about going overseas, I mean, one of the things that we do well, and I think it's one of our obligations, is we just have to be honest with our listeners and the people we talk to and break down the myth of why these things happened. Well, when you can make something for pennies on the dollar with no regulation, no environmental regulation, no nothing in other countries, companies said, I can do that, or I can stay and pay 35%, and I can legally defer paying the tax. I mean, we just rolled the red carpet out for this to happen. I mean, that's what we did. We just have to be honest about this. So this is why I say, guys, and I say it because I understand the populist message of I saw a T-shirt the other day, and Larkin will know this when he's on. I saw a T-shirt that he's mentioned the other day. It said, "Eat the rich, eat the rich." And I'm thinking, "Eat the rich." I said, "Wow, you know, that's what does that mean? Gazillionaires win, guys, in any economic model." Capitalism, communism, socialism, fascism, theocracy. Do you think that all of the communist experts in the history of the world, like Stalin and Lenin and all these people, you think they lived like communists? No, they lived like capitalists while they implemented it for the rest of the people. Gazillionaires win no matter what. The reason that in this country, even with all the crony capitalism inversions and all this crap, the reason that people could make a better living on average in America is because of our awesome economic power. But once if opportunities start dwindling, which I do believe they are, that's when all of a sudden we start talking about more dependency because we can't find a job, because people can't find work. They're 5 years out of work, Michael. They're living on their 401k. They're watching their IRA statements deplete. We have to get this country back to work. The gazillionaires are going to win no matter what. Forget about them.
You're right, Rich, and it's the old idea.
And that's why, Michael, I said last week, if you ask me what I would do, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys that I think I've got the answers, because I don't think that, but I'll tell you this, I'm going to go and sit down with that I'm going to go after that $2 trillion plus. I'm going after that money. Because can we be honest? Again, let's just be honest about it. We ain't ever seeing that money, guys.
Rich, it's funny, your whole conversation, you came back around and you mentioned jobs again. And we could talk why they go overseas to make an inferior product or a better product and sell it for less. That's great. But we have to have jobs. We have to have our middle class grow. So we have to keep these jobs. And, Rich, you came back around to it. Mike, you always talk about it. And, again, a lot of the debates aren't about jobs. People don't realize we need something to do. We have to make something here in America. And if we send it overseas, right or wrong or for whatever reason, is just hurting our jobs.
Sure, if there were no workers available in America, then any of us would say, well, then you have to, you know, expand the base and go elsewhere. But that's not the case with the companies that are alive and well and still operating in America. Carrier is moving there because they don't want to pay as much taxes. They don't want to pay health insurance. They want to pay less, and do less to get more is the bottom line.
You know, what happens to me? General welding and fabricating. What do I live on? I live on companies like my oil and mining manufacturing company. I live off of manufacturers, the courier. They need trailers. They need repairs. They need carts and jigs made and test fixtures made. See, nobody really realizes when Courier moves overseas, and that hurts a Mark Andel with his general welding. Buffalo only has a few manufacturers left. If we had more manufacturers, we'd all be living good in these smaller businesses. I'd be feeding off them. Instead, the one manufacturer I deal with that's strong and makes the razor blade type of component that wears out on oil rigs is very slow right now, so that affects our business. So we need more manufacturing here, and then it's that spiderweb effect that feeds so many other businesses. And that's what's really hard for the listeners and people to grab a hold of, how it all works.
You know, long before it's ever announced publicly that a business is considering to move out of America, national leaders, the trade corporation in the U.S., the Commonwealth, and also on the national level, should be sitting down at a conference table and talking to these people and saying, what are we going to do to make America the best place for you to do business? Do you need this? Do you need that? And make a 30-year deal, as some of these corporations that are moving overseas, they get a 10 or 12 or 15-year deal, so they know exactly where they're going to be standing for the next 10, 12, 15 years. We're allowing companies to leave. National leaders are not saying a word. All sorts of commerce departments not saying a word. If they were doing things, we'd be hearing about it on CNN, Fox News, and on the World News Tonight. They're not doing that. And so our jobs go, they walk out the door, and then the people tell me, Michael, why are you complaining that we live in a free market economy? So I say, yes, I understand that we live in a free market economy. And as a result of this type of leadership, if you'll hear me out, we now have all of our cell phones made overseas, the televisions that we're watching made overseas, the computers that we're using right now are all made overseas. Now we're going to have more of the air conditioning units being sold in America made overseas. I mean, it's like a litany of things that are now overseas. It's almost unbelievable. And yet, if you heard one candidate get up there and say, I don't like that we don't have any cell phones made in America. I want to see a television, a competitive television company come here. I want to see another air conditioning company come to this country. Carrier wants to leave. Okay, thank you. We're going to promote the one that's in the USA. Is that happening, Rich?
Well, Michael, to try to streamline and answer the question is that there is, we are all as a panel aware of what's happening, and we follow and stay on top of things, I think, as best as we all can. Larkin will tell you about how I'm the guy that sends out 87 emails a day, right? So I think he's still reading my emails from like last July, probably at this point. You know, because this is what we do, right, guys? This is what it is that we do. So, you know, Michael, to answer your question about, you know, the only candidate who's up there talking about it, right? Trump's up there talking about jobs, and now where the media and the candidates are going to go at Trump, or they're going to start asking him, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? And sure, we want to hear some ideas on how we're going to do it. But right now, where we're at is this. You know, you talk about free trade, and we have to, again, be honest. We have to be honest and acknowledge the fact that we have seen the NAFTA trade deal that was sold as free and open trade. It's great to do business with other countries. Again, theoretically, it sounds wonderful. It sounds great. Oh, we're going to be global. It's a global economy. We're going to do business with other countries. Until you start to realize that the effects of these trade deals is what we do is we create terrible onuses and burdens for small business. We abdicate more and more our national and economic sovereignty. And if we thought NAFTA was bad, you guys seen this monstrosity? This TPP, this thing is almost triple the size of the Obamacare law.
Yep.
I mean, you're not – and the thing about the new trade deal, you're not just dealing, guys, with economy per se. You're dealing with legal regulations, patents. You're dealing with where countries can are basically can take America, the United States, into like a economic type court to have tribunal. I mean,
it's insane.
It's pretty nutty. I mean, it's really nutty. And how is it being sold? This is how it's being sold. Trust me, this is a good thing. And not only that, who's President Obama's biggest supporters of the trade deal? All of the rhino Republicans in Congress.
Yeah. Rich, remember
the stimulus
package? The 1,400 pages nobody read? I still have my stimulus mailbox up and nothing's in it. I'm still waiting.
And, Michael, I just got to make a point.
It was a sack of papers.
Michael, you mentioned before about doobies. Let me tell you something. If people want to talk about doobies, they're at the right place on this show.
Next, it'll be cages.
We're at the right place. You want to get the munchies and do doobies and go, you know, color your hair with grapefruit seed extract. This is the place.
You know, I want to tell you, you just mentioned something which is interesting, Rich, and I think we have to follow through on that. What those trade deals really did is highlight the fact that products could be made in foreign countries cheaper. And it also highlighted the fact that anybody doing business with an American company was losing money because they could buy it from a foreign country for much less. That's the sad part of the trade agreements. Otherwise, if there was a balance of trade, if we said, okay, you sell us a dollar and we sell you a dollar, then that would be okay. There would be a balance. But right now you have $4 going out and $1 coming into us, our treasury.
We need a fair trade deal.
We need a very fair trade deal, but no one wants to talk about that because they keep telling me, We live in a free market economy. What don't you understand
about that? Remember, we had an unfair advantage over our competition. Remember them shows where we talked about the unfair advantage? Come on, everybody's equal. All lives matter, right? Everybody's equal. Let's have a fair deal.
Yeah, when I hear that...
Mark, you better hope you don't get protests outside your store for saying all lives matter. And you want to know something?
There.
Remember in the film? Remember in Mark's movie? You had Dave Walker. I'm pretty sure that was Dave Walker. He was a controller, U.S. Federal Controller General. And he said, well, how hard is it for small businesses to compete with other countries? Forget about competing with your own with your rivals in competition in your own industry. I mean, Mark, every one of us who has a business, we have competition. We all have competition. I hate labels, guys, but what is the progressive Democrat mentality about business? When you fail, you're always a victim, and when you succeed, you're always a lucky lottery winner. And then you got Dave Walker in the movie who put it real well. He says, small businesses. How the hell can small businesses compete with other countries?
That's right.
Not because, Michael, me, Mark, Henry, Larkin, all of us, and my clientele, Mark's clientele, not because we as business owners are sitting there with our hands out. Okay, we all are happy to earn what it is our take. We're happy to earn what we're doing.
Yep.
But we got to be honest about it. And I know, there's a lot of populist rhetoric, and a lot of it's coming from Bernie Sanders. And the challenge that Bernie Sanders will have is convincing people to hire him to fix this. Because if you look at Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, they're in agreement on the TPP. They're against it. Sanders has been against it, to my knowledge, from the outset. To my knowledge, Trump has been against it from the outset. Difference being Trump's not in any political office. And then you have Ted Cruz, who was for it staunchly and now is staunchly against it. And then, of course, let's not forget Hillary Clinton, where you can find dozens of times where she publicly said it was the gold standard for trade deals. And then, of course, magically all of a sudden doesn't like it anymore.
You know, I want to tell you something. When I go to some sort of a presentation, normally they have a slideshow, and it gives you, what's going to happen this year, what's going to happen next year. They give you facts and figures. I haven't seen a slideshow or a PowerPoint from any of these people. I haven't seen a side-by-side comparison by what Sanders is saying and Clinton is saying. This one wants to give everything away. That one wants to give everything away. Where is the money going to come from? And that's the problem that we have in America. We have a lot of people talking, but there's nothing in writing. There's not a written plan that says this is how it will be.
And, Mike, they've got to design that plan now before they're in office. 4 years goes fast. If they're designing the plan while they're in office for 4 years, they're not going to pull it off.
Right. In fact, the only thing that would make things come to life is if the people start saying, we just hear you talking. Is that all babble or whatever? Where is your with the days of Internet and all, we should be able to have those kinds of reports at our fingertips. Just go and see what Sanders' plan is. I mean, with facts and figures and numbers, not we're going to do this and we're going to, and Hillary's saying we're going to do this and Trump is saying that and Cruz is saying this and Rubio. Where are the facts and figures? If you have a dollar, you can't spend a dollar and a quarter. You know that better than anybody, Mark.
Yep, you need a plan, and every month they got to review the plan, pick the priorities, and then adjust it as you're going. You're going to fail, you're going to succeed, but you got to have a plan, and this is what we're going to take care of with the number one country in the world to get back on track. I mean, you have to do it and review it monthly.
And, people, as I talk to good people, they say to me, Michael, I don't like the idea now of all these politicians being able to sit in there for 30, 40 years. It doesn't make sense. They made it into a job. And when you're doing a job, you think you're doing great and you don't have to be accountable to the people. If it was me, America's leaders would get zero in their paycheck until things changed, until jobs came back. Let that money go into an account while they sit and really scramble and try to use this. We're in an emergency. Let's say we're in an emergency. The house is in fire. On fire. We have to get the people out of the fire so that they'll be okay. America's in an emergency situation. We have too many empty buildings, too many people unemployed. But we do have a solution that we discuss all the time during this broadcast. And I'm going to say what it is, and people will understand it. Because, Mark, that's all you've been preaching for several years. And that is, buy what's available, made in your country right now. By doing that, you will be helping that business be able to stay in business. You'll be able to help that business keep people employed. And as people get the example that it's worthwhile to invest in America, they will invest in America more. But if people keep coming and making all sorts of demands that are impossible to meet, then you find Ford deciding to make certain models in Mexico, and Carrier and all the others will move out slowly because they can't compete. So we have to compete within our own country. We have to start. Why don't we have a television, Rich, made in the USA? Can you tell me that?
Well, Michael, you know, first off, you know, Mark, well, let's take Mark. I mean, let's just be honest about this. When you look at Mark as an entrepreneur, I mean, Mark, you're pretty damn nuts. I mean, you're pretty crazy. I mean, let's just say, right? You know, you had, like, you tell your story in the film. You had a big account, you lost the account, and it significantly harmed your business. And your response was to come back with something that was kind of a crazy idea.
Absolutely.
You know, Made in America store. And The people like the Marks of this country, Michael. America is a great place, not because of Republicans and Democrats. It's a great place because of Americans, our people, our entrepreneurs, our innovators, right? Those who create opportunity. And I know Larkin said this before, and I think this is one of his finest of many points. When you start building economic strength and growth, things start to take care of themselves in all other aspects. And we're looking at an election now, and I don't think that the president is the end-all, be-all. I don't view politicians as political messiahs, but there are so many things at the very forefront that are at stake that affect our daily lives in the short term and are going to affect our long-term lives as Americans for our families. I mean, we're talking the economy. I have to make mention, Michael, though I didn't always agree with his rulings. You know, rest in peace to Justice Scalia. I saw Justice Scalia speak at my alma mater, Iona College, many years ago. And I just remember there being, the one thing that I really vividly remember was someone in the audience trying to get him on a gotcha question about Bush versus Gore. And Justice Scalia, in his nice way, I mean, he intellectually embarrassed these people who were trying to get him in the gotcha. And, you know, you look at the fact that the Supreme Court can, I mean, depending on who's elected, the Supreme Court may look dramatically different in a year or two from now. And we need justices who are going to err on the side of caution of constitutional liberties. You know, Jefferson said it best, I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. And that's hanging in the balance, guys.
That's right. I agree.
Not because, Michael, I just want to be clear, not because I think that all the conservative justices are right all the time, but I want to err on the side of caution for constitutional freedoms and liberties. And if we as voters don't think that there is a growing segment of this population in our country that doesn't want to dramatically change and alter the Constitution, we are naive and mistaken.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that talking with people, they said that in the last few administrations, there has been less outreach to the people of America. In other words, they think that maybe the presidents and the vice presidents know that America has had all this rigmarole with jobs leaving overseas and all, and they don't want to face the people. President Obama had an opportunity like no one else to go out there on a regular basis and give his own, you know, talking points about what he thinks is happening, what could be done, what should be done. George Bush, the same way, he had many opportunities to go out to the people. But I think the presidents are sitting in the White House, in the Oval Office, and they're really not going out to the people, which is a problem. Could you imagine if the president of the United States just came out and said, for the next month, please go out and support all of your local businesses. Please go out and make sure that the companies manufacturing in your area have enough customers so they keep those jobs going. Why can't a president or a vice president be the cheerleader for that type of an initiative? I mean, I don't understand it. And maybe Obama, you know, there was always some kind of controversial, he's this, he's that. No, I think he should have rose above all that and just went out and went out like David Muir is going out to the little plants, to what they're making and all. Why couldn't the president go to show, look, this is being made in America. Let's have more companies open up. Here's your example. Let's do it. We don't have any of that cheerleading in America. We're just cheering down ourselves. We're putting ourselves in a game. We need a leader.
We need leaders to lead by example.
Lead by example. Mark, you'd be I'll be honest with you. You would be a better president than most of the people running for president right now. Because you would lead by example. You would go around and promote America and American made. You would do it.
20 more years, I might be qualified.
And Rich, you'd make a good vice president. I could, you know, go around promoting you. Could you imagine if the president of the United States went on CNN, everybody knew that a particular program is going to be announced, that he's going to come in and talk about our labor situation and what we can do to get more jobs and let us know what's happening in the auto industry, why we're having more foreign-made cars made in America and more of America's brands are leaving America. I think we need a leader that really is able to sit and talk to the people in a normal way. And it's not happening. I really feel that's been a big void in America. Do you agree with that, Rich?
Yes, Michael, I do, but I'm going to give you the good news about it. The good news about it is I think there is an awakening in the country now. I desperately hope so. Guys, I desperately hope so. And if there is, it can't end at this election. I don't know. We don't know, guys, what's going to happen. I mean, there is a growing possibility of Donald Trump being the nominee. If there's not a brokered convention, it's probably likely now at this point. Although we're seeing, you know, the RNC, they're still kind of grasping onto Hebb and Marco Rubio right now, which is a side note for our listeners. Our listeners have to go to JebBush.com.
Hey, Rich.
And find out what happens.
I got a question. What if Donald Trump went to be an independent?
He might.
What would it do?
Well, he will for sure tilt the election to one of the two major party candidates. He might get the most votes. He might acquire the most votes of any independent in American presidential election history.
Which the last was Russ Perot, right?
Russ Perot scared the crap out of the two parties so much in 1992 that after that, the League of Women Voters no longer ran the debate, and then it was the Commission on Presidential Debates, which was all basically an attempt to keep out third parties because of how well Perot did.
Yep.
And so Trump and the thing about Trump, I think that people have to understand about him, again, like him or not, one thing about him is that when Trump says these things, I think people have to understand he's crazy enough to do it.
Well, one of the people was very open with me. They said, Michael, the reason I like Trump is for I don't like, you know, his boisterousness and this and that. He seems that he is the only one who will keep a discussion going until he gets his point across.
He is American.
That's the thing and after I heard that, I backed down on the rest of the conversation because the person said the rest of them just seem to want to get talking points across. But when he wants to go after you for a certain thing that he feels is wrong, he will continue until he gets his point across. Now, that's in many respects what's needed in America. You know, we need more of the candidates speaking up as Trump is speaking up about jobs. But everybody should be sharing ideas equally. Like I said before, they should have a written plan. I asked people for their written plan and they say, it's coming. Well, I'll probably be at the election headquarters that day to go out and elect before I see the plan. I'd like to see Bernie Sanders' plan. I'd like to see Hillary's plan. I'd like to see Trump's plan and Rubio's plan, all of them that have a plan. Even the governor from Ohio, he's a good speaker and nice presenter. He should have all of that in writing where he could point and say, go to my site and point number 3 outlines it from A to Z, nothing left out in between. That's what we need. Because what happens is, it just goes on, and time is very valuable. Before you know it, it's going to be time to go to the primaries. And with that, I want to remind everyone that we have a link on the front of our page, right under our panel's picture, and it says register to vote. You can go to that. It'll take you to where your state is, or you can go to your individual state if you haven't already had the primary in your state. A lot of them are coming up. Some of them you need 15 days before the primary to register. Some of them you need 30 days or 20 days. It depends which state it is. Go and register. Be part of this great thing happening in America. So when the people count the votes, they can say, this is where America really feels we should be going. And then you'll see a lot of this, Rich, what's happening with the big parties. If they don't feel they can control the candidate at the top, they will not like that candidate and do everything they can to downgrade the candidate. But if they feel they can have some control, political parties are about controlling you. There's so many people worried secretly. I better not say this. I better not do that. Well, this has really hurt America. And in fact, I have to tell you this, and I'll be very gentle in the way I present this. Few people, and not just a few, a lot of people tell me they often feel very funny about going into a store and speaking to the cashier about American made. And I say, why? And they say, well, sometimes the person behind the cashier is an Indian or somebody. And I say, well, that's okay. Don't worry about that. They live in America. They're making their livelihood in America. Let them know so that they'll be able to tell their buyers. I mean, don't be afraid to speak up for your own. That person behind the character, no matter what nationality or creed or whatever, they are living in America. They have a job in America. They need you as a customer. Let them know that you want to see more American-made items featured. So I am doing my best to make sure that people have that energy, to give them that spinach-type energy to go out and speak. Don't hesitate to do it.
Support the country you live in.
Support the country you live in. Absolutely.
Mike, I've had Vietnamese, Japanese, Chinese, Canadians come in my store, and they get it more than most Americans. You know, you support the country you live in. They tell me it's common sense.
This whole thing with the trade balance and all, do you know that's a lot of the foreigners that have been here for 10, 20 years tell me this trade imbalance should have been settled years ago. Few have even told me that if they knew that things would change in America, they would have not invested in the businesses that they did. And that's unfortunate. And it's because they also agree that national leaders have let Americans down for 30, 40 years, and they continue to let them down with all these cage fight debates and all. No specifics. There should be a demand for give us your policies in writing so that we can focus them on the wall. When you're talking about trade, there's your trade policy. You know, that's my point of view.
And Michael, if I can just add, I just want to add to a point I made earlier. When I was talking about, as I've mentioned before, how on average I believe you can make a better living here than anywhere else, I just don't want our listeners to construe that as contentment. Even though I believe that's true, that's not at all an excuse to get lax and lazy. RJL, I say this with a source of pride, not to take credit, RJL has expanded its sales and grown its sales every single year that we've been in business for 8 years. If in any one of those years, Mark, I said, wow, you know what, I'm going to take the first 6 months off.
Yeah.
I just had my best year ever. Let me take the no. You know, it's like the sports equivalent. When you're leading,
you got to go all the way.
Go lead for more. So I just want to be clear about that. Having said that, just like any issue that we'll talk about, you know, when we bring up issues, it's not to suggest, Michael, that I feel like you leave it at that. America is great because of our people and our entrepreneurs and our workers and our innovators,
Rick,
none of whom said, you know what, good is good enough.
No. An entrepreneur's creed, never quit and stay hungry.
You know, guys, I want to tell you this. Can you imagine what power any political candidate would have if they actually went out and shared the ideas on ways to improve America's business climate? It would be unbelievable. That person would rise far above the rest when they share facts and figures, side-by-side comparisons with people. That's what people really want to hear. And that's what they're getting from Trump. They feel this guy will really do something to address the jobs issue. We're talking many things during these debates, but we're not talking enough about the security of America. Gentlemen, I thought we had a wonderful conversation today. And I want to tell you guys that people who tune in and love to listen because they feel it's like a round table discussion of good friends discussing good things to change the future of America. With that, I have to say thank you for tuning in all. Make sure you tune in this Saturday at 11 for our variety program, which I do present my weekly commentary. And I thank Rich Logis, Larkin Connolly, and Mark Andel for always participating on our broadcast. My thanks to Henry Chaplinsky. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish all of you the very best.
Hey, guys, have a great week. And, Mike, thanks for the snow you sent up to me. Philadelphia can't have all the snow.
Have a great one, guy.
Thanks, everyone. You too.